All right, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, about seven lines down. Amar Lei Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. So the Gemara had ended off trying to deal with the pasuk from the end of Sefer Dvarim, which indicates that Miked Sheva Shanim b'Moed Shnat Hashmita b'Chag HaSukkot. So the Gemara wants to know, how could it be that it's the end of the seventh year into the eighth year because it's Sukkot, and it's calling it Shnat Shmita? How is it possible that Shnat HaShmita is extending beyond the seventh year? So the conclusion of the Gemara was, there were certain things, items, that when they're planted in the seventh year, but grow into the eighth year, that they still will have Kedushat Shvi'it. They'll have the Kedusha of the seventh year. And those are items that grew up to a third prior to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara used the Pasuk of Chag HaSif B'Tzeit Shana. That from Chag HaSif B'Tzeit Shana, the Gemara wanted to interpret the word Asif to mean Katsir, because you already had the word Aspecha, so we know when it is. So Chag HaSif, the word Asif, had to mean something else, and we said Katsir. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, V'kimlu d'Rabbanon. The Rabbanon have a Mesorah of sorts. We have to figure that out. Is that an empirical evidence that they have, or is that a Mesorah, Aloch HaMosh Misinai, that the whole Tvuah, Sh'niktzera B'Chag, any Tvuah that was harvested on Sukkot, it for sure grew up to a third before Rosh Hashanah. So if they're harvesting on Sukkot, they know that they hit a third before Rosh Hashanah, and that means it has Kedushat Shvi'it, because it hit Onata Masrot before the end of the seventh year. That's what we left off with. The Rabbanan are experts to knowing whether something has grown a third or more than a third. The way Rashi says, V'chi b'kiim hein b'tiv gidul tfuah, a Rabbanon experts in the agricultural realm to know or to have an eye for something that's grown more than a third or less than a third. We said, kim lehu Rabbanon. What does that mean, kim lehu Rabbanon? So right now, the Gemara's assumption is that it was an empirical study. They looked, they knew that when something's harvested at Sukkot, that they could see that it had already grown a third by Rosh Hashanah. So that's the question of Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zeira is, do they have such expertise? So Amar Lei, Lav Amina Lecha. So didn't I already tell you? Lo tapik nafshecha lebar mehilchta. Don't put yourself outside the halacha. Kol midot chachamim keinu. Everything that the chachamim established in terms of midot, in terms of measurement, they all have this feature to them, which is ba'arba'im sa'ah hu tovel. Person goes to an amikveh that is 40 sa'ah. Barbeim sa'a chaser kortov, enu yachol litbol ben. But if it's 40 sa'a less than a kortov, he can't go in there to the mikveh. Kibetza, mitamei tumat uchlim. Kibetza worth of food is mitamei tumat uchlim. He can convey tumat uchlim. We've seen before machlokot rishonim about the receipt of tumah. There are some rishonim who believe that you even need a kibetza to accept tumah. But everybody agrees, in terms of conveyance of tumah, you have to believe at least be a kibetza. Kibetza chasar shumshum, kibetza less than a sesame seed, eino mitamei tumat ochlim. It's not mitamei tumat ochlim. Shlosha al shlosha mitamei midras. 3 by 3 tfachim is mitamei midras, for midras azav, for being seated on, or for using for some sort of resting. Shlosha, shlosha, chaser nima, achat. Even if it's missing one thread, enu mitamei midras. It's not mitamei midras. So generally, when the Gemara makes a statement like this, it's generally about the midot or the shiurim, which is that the chachamim set shiurim, and if you're below that shiur, it doesn't work. If you're above that shiur, it does work. And it doesn't matter that you're missing just a little bit. It has to be a threshold somewhere. That's usually the way the chachamim presented here. But that's not the question. The question here by Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zeira is, are the Chachamim experts in this area of agriculture that they know the difference between less than a third and above a third? So in all of these cases, what you have to explain is, are the Chachamim experts to set up such a standard? Why is that? So let's just do it. Kibetza tochlim. By kibetza tochlim, kim lehu rabbanan, she'ein beit ablia machzik. That the beit ablia in your throat when you swallow, that it can't fit more than a beitzat tarnagolet, more than an egg from a chicken. And by tumat tochlim it says, mikola ochel, asher ye achel, ochel anechal bevat achat. So how do I know about what type of oklot? Oklot can fit in one shot down your throat. And they measured that to be a kebetza. Same with the midras is 3x3 tzvachim because that's an area shira'ui l'yeshiva that you can sit in. I'd say the same thing by the 40 sa'ah. 40 sa'ah is determined by the amount of water that would cover a normal person that goes in. It says by the mikveh, where we learn the din of mikveh from, in Parsha Tzmini, that the waters have to cover the entirety of a person. And shiru chachamim, that space is 1x1x3 high, and that's makzik, 40 sa'ah. So again, these are all shirim that are set by chachamim, understanding what the empirical evidence is surrounding these issues. How much fits into the throat? What is the size that a person sits on? How much water fits into 1x1x3, and 1x1x3 fits an entire person in there for the mikveh? Happened to hear, brother-in-law mentioned to me in the name of Shechter, that if a person is bigger, and they can't fit into 40 sa'ah, then 40 sa'ah would not suffice for them in terms of mikveh. 40 sa'ah is the minimum amount that a person has to get into a standard size. If a person is bigger than that, and they can't get into 40 sa'ah, you would need more than 40 sa'ah. You need enough to encompass the entire goof of the individual. But what you see here is that the chachamim are establishing shi'urim based on evidence that is gathered from understanding. Certain times it's biology, other times it's agriculture, botany. It's all these different areas of expertise, and they are setting shi'urim based on that. So we see that, yes, kim lehu rabbanan. It's interesting now how Rabbi Yirmiyah comes back and says, hadar amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Lav miltahi damre. My question was not well founded. My question is wrong. Because there's another issue or incident, which is the Chevrei Beit Midrash, those that were in the Beit Midrash, asked Rav Kahana, Omer sheikrivu Yisrael b'knisatam la'aretz mehechan ikrivu. The Omer that Bnei Yisrael brought when they first entered into the land of Israel, where did they bring it from? That's in Sefer Yoshua. When they come in Sefer Yoshua, it says that they ate from Me'avura Aretz, which we're going to see in a second, and they seemingly brought the Korban HaOmer. So now, it says there, Im Tomar Da'al B'yad Nachri, if you say that it grew in the hands of a Nachri, and they used a Nachri's Shvua, can't do that, because by the Omer it says, Katsir Chem, Amar Rachmana, Velo Katsir Nachri. It says it has to be your harvest, not the harvest of a Nachri. To be my Da'akrivu. So, who says that they brought the Omer? Dilma lo akrivu. Maybe they didn't bring the Omer. Why are you so certain that they brought the Omer when they came in? Lo sakadatcho. You would not think that that's the case that they didn't bring the Omer. Dichtiv. Because it says, vayuchlu mi avur haaretz, that they ate from the produce of the land, mi machrat pesach, matzot, vikalui, ve'etzim hayom hazeh. So there are too many words there that remind us of the Omer. One is Mimacharata Pesach, the other one is Kalui, and Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. All of those are terminologies that are used with regards to the Omer. And so it says over there, Ve'ichlu Me'avur Aretz Mimacharata Pesach, Si Mimacharata Pesach Achol, Ikara Lo Achol. They ate after Pesach, but before that they did not eat. Why did they not eat from before that? Da'krivu Omer, V'hadar Achli. Because they brought the Omer and then they ate from the Chadash. That was the problem. It was Chadash that needs to cross over the Omer. So Mehechan Ikrivu. So then, now we've established that they brought the Omer. Where did they bring the Omer from? Where did they bring it from? Amalan. Kol Shalohi Vishlish Biyad Nachri. Something that didn't grow yet, a shlish, one third of its maturity in the hands of an Achri. So where it says, V'dilma'ay v'lokim lehu. Well, maybe it grew already a third, and they don't know the difference. How do they know the difference between whether it grew a third in the hands of Nachri or not a third? Ella, kimlu, must be that they knew what a third was. Hachanami, kimlu, so too over here, they must have known. So he says, look, we already have precedence for this, that they knew the difference between a third and not a third, because that's the only way we can explain this case back by Yoshua, because they had to bring from Tvua that grew less than a third in the hands of an Nachri. That means that they have to know what a third is in order to do that. By having that knowledge, we indicate or we ascertain now that that knowledge does exist and they are Bikim in this area. If that's the case, then they're also Bikim now when we're talking about whether it grew a third or not a third before Rosh Hashanah.
It's amazing
because they came into this. Vadilma lo ayoklau. All right. Let's say that it didn't grow at all. It didn't even start to grow. Then you don't have to make any determination. You know, if it's way below a third, then you don't have to be so smart or discerning if it's much less than a third. Aval hecha dial riva ben shlish lepachot shlish lo kimlu. But if it already grew up to a quarter or something like that, they wouldn't know the difference between a third or less than a third. The Gemara says, lo sakad atcho dichtiv. It says, like David was about to question, which is, va'am alumina yardain basor da chodesh. They came out of the Yardain on the 10th of the month. When is the Omer? The Omer is on the 16th. We're talking about a 5-day period. So you're telling me that it grew from scratch within a period of 5 days? That's pretty miraculous growth spurt. If you said it didn't grow up at all, 5 days, how is it possible that it filled out and that it matured in that period of time? So the Gemara says back to them, Elamai, Da'ayo Rivo Danka. Alright, so what's your suggestion? This suggestion is that it came from scratch. It grew from scratch, and it hit full maturity by the 16th of Nisan. You have to already cut the Omer the night before. So you only really have 5 days in which to have this grow from scratch to the full maturity. So it says, what? Your suggestion is that it was less than a third in the hands of an Achri, and then it grew. So what was it? It was a quarter of its maturity? It was a sixth of its maturity? Doesn't really matter. We're talking about too much growth, no matter how far along it is. Whether you start from scratch, or if you start from below a third, you still have to get the other two-thirds grown within that five-year period. That's an extreme amount of growth for any grain. Crazy amount of growth for any grain, whether you start from scratch, or whether you start from just below a third, quarter, or sixth, whatever it is. So what are you going to say? Eretz Tzvi Ketivba. That it's a land of the Tzvi. Just like the Tzvi is quick, fast, so too it's a land whose Perot Mitbashel V'mihirut. That its fruits, its vegetation, its grains grow to maturity, ripen at a fast pace. Hachanami Eretz Tzvi Ketivba. So too over here, Eretz Tzvi Ketivba. Now once you've done that, the question of conclusion is, what does it mean, Eretz Tzvi? Did they just conclude that Eretz Tzvi means that it could have been just under a third and made it to full maturation? Or does Eretz Tzvi mean, okay, we could have started from scratch and it could have grown to full maturation? So it could be either one of those, because once you say Eretz Tzvi, you're already asking for a certain amount of miraculous growth or a very extreme growth. So it doesn't matter if it's extreme growth from below a third or extreme growth from zero. Once you've done that, if you say it's from zero, then you take away the proof that we know the difference between a third and not a third. Right, so the Gemara's conclusion, depending on how you read Eretz Tzvi, the Gemara's conclusion here will be different in Rabbi Yirmiyah's proof. If you read that Eretz Tzvi means that it grew from just under a third, then you would still have data that they did know the difference between less than a third and more than a third. If you say it grew from scratch, which seems like the more likely conclusion, then they didn't know. And David's question is also a good question, which is, they've never seen wheat in their life. How would they ever know between a less than a third and more than a third to say kim lehu rabbanon? That's a very hard statement to make. Gemara here and assumes that the rabbanon have some sort of misora about this. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. That first of all, kim lehu rabbanon. Question of whether Rabbi Yirmiyah's proof on himself is a good proof we can leave open. But Rabbi Zeira's response to Rabbi Yirmiyah is yes, kim lehu rabbanon. The rabbanon either have this expertise. I would have expected an answer more along the lines that they have a misora. Forget about empirical evidence expertise. They have a misora that's the case. That seems to be the more likely answer, is that it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. In a sense, yes, it's an empirical thing that you can see, but they had a misora about it. Not that they sat and looked and watched people swallow food and figured out that they had an egg in there. So to me, that seems like the more likely answer here. Rabbi Zera says, no, that they have this ability to, or expertise, to make that decision. That's the way Rashi reads it. The others read it that simply that it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. That's the kimlehu. The kimlehu is that they have a misora that's the case. Now, next thing, which is very interesting, there's a Tosafot here, which is extremely interesting, both because of the nature of the question, as well as the questioner. Da'krivu omer v'hadar achol. That's what it says, that Tosafot. Hikshe Rabbeinu Avram Ibn Ezra. So the Tosafot quotes the Ibn Ezra, which is unusual. Ha mimachrat ha-Pesach. Hainu, Tedvav v'Nisan. It's an unbelievable kasha. It's a great question. The Omer in the Torah is described and being brought as Mimachrat HaShabbat. Mimachrat HaShabbat, we say, is the day after the first Yom Tov. The day of Yom Tov, you take it the day after, is the 16th of Nisan. Here, in Sefer Yoshua, it doesn't say Mimachrat HaShabbat. It doesn't say Mimachrat HaYom Tov or Mimachrat HaChag HaMatzot. It says Mimachrat HaPesach. When is Pesach? Chag HaPesach is on the 14th of Nisan. That you can check up. That's something very important to know. Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaPesach are not the same holiday in the Torah. Chag HaPesach takes place on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. Chag HaMatzot starts on the 15th and goes for 7 days. Happens to be that they overlap on the Leila Seder. On the Leila Seder, you have an overlap between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot. Right, there is good evidence of this. One of the greatest pieces of evidence is Pesach Sheni. When does Pesach Sheni take place? On the 14th of Iyar. That's Chag HaPesach. There is no Chag HaMatzot on Pesach Sheni, and that's why it's celebrated on the 14th in the afternoon and not on the 15th of Iyar. So what the Ibn Ezra asked is, look over here. By Yoshua it says that they brought it Mimacharat HaPesach. The day after Pesach. And the Ibn Ezra says, the day after Pesach is the 15th. Pesach, Chag HaPesach is on the 14th. The day after Pesach is the 15th. That's not when you bring the Korban Omer. The Korban Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan. It's a tremendous kasha. And the Ibn Ezra is asking this, to whom? Veheshiv lo Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam responded to the Ibn Ezra. So it's very interesting. You have contact between them. It's like the Ibn Ezra lives from 1089 to 1164. Rabbeinu Tam lives from 1100 to 1171. So they have a heavy overlap. By the time Ibn Ezra is 11 years old, Rabbeinu Tam is born. And so there's a significant amount of time where they overlap, where this could have taken place. So the Rabbeinu Tam sends a letter back to him, and Kedarka B'Kodesh, Rabbeinu Tam answers the way that he would try to be Mechalik in a Gemara, the way he tries to solve a steer in a Gemara, that's the way he tries to deal with the Pasuk. He just parses the Pasuk and he reads it this way. It's an unbelievable answer, although, again, it's not the Pashtut HaKra. It's very difficult to read the Pasuk this way. But he says, if you look at the Pasuk, it says, Vayachlu mi'avur ha'aretz, mi'machrat ha'pesach matzot, v'kalui, v'etzem ha'yom hazeh. So what the Rabbeinu Tam says is, Vayachlu mi'avur ha'aretz, mi'machrat ha'pesach matzot, comma. Instead of saying that it's matzot v'kalui, v'etzem ha'yom hazeh, he says that, he agrees it's the 15th. He says, you're right, the Ibn Ezra, that Machar HaPesach is the 15th. So what did they eat? They ate matzot on Machar HaPesach on the 15th. That's what they ate. Then, v'kalui be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. And the kalui they ate on etzem ha'yom hazeh. Etzem ha'yom hazeh is referring to the 16th. In the Torah describes the 16th of Nisan as etzem ha'yom hazeh. So he parses the pasuk, splits it in half, and says, yeah, the first half is talking about the 15th. The second half is talking about the 16th. It's a brilliant answer, like the way you'd see Rabbeinu Tam take a steer on Gemara's. But when you have a pasuk like this, it's hard to read it. But that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads it. And he agrees fundamentally with the Ibn Ezra that Machrat HaPesach means the 15th. So that's how he answers the question. Later on, Tosafot suggests that maybe Chag HaPesach, you're right, is on the 14th, but it does extend into the night of the 15th. Which is true. You eat the Korban HaPesach on the night of the 15th. That's what I said before. The Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzot overlap until Chatzot on the Leila Seder. That's why the Leila Seder is so important, because it's the overlap between Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaPesach. So Chag HaPesach does extend into the night of the 15th. So you could argue that Mimachar HaPesach means the 16th, because Chag HaPesach does extend into the 15th. So that is the second answer, or the other alternative answer that Tosafot gives. Again, it's interesting. Both the question, the questioner, the responder to the question, and how they deal with it. What is the meaning of Mimacharat Pesach in this case? Tosafot also asks an interesting question, which is, the Gemara's conclusion is that Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz Tzvi, and that the Tvua filled in 5 days. So that whatever maturity or whatever it was up to at that point, it finished it in 5 days. The Gemara before concluded that when it comes to Tvua that you harvest on Sukkot, we know for sure that it grew a third before Rosh Hashanah. Wait a minute. If you just said now that it's Eretz Tzvi, and in 5 days it can reach full maturity, how do you know then when you harvest it on Sukkot, that's 15 days at least, you know, or 16 days if you're into Chol HaMoed, that's 16 days after Rosh Hashanah, how do you know for sure that it reached a third of maturity before Rosh Hashanah? It might have been even less, and you could have still have Eretz Tzvi. And why don't you make the same claim with regards to that? How come we have one case where we're saying, no, it takes 15 days to get from a third up to full maturity. And then we have this Gemara telling us, no, in 5 days you can get to full maturity. So Tosafot answers, a very interesting answer. He says that by the Omer, you can take stuff that is Rach and Malay, meaning that the requirement for the Omer is Karmel, something that's moist and not something that's been dried out. when they actually ground the kernels for the omer, they actually had to roast them first because they had so much moisture in them. They were not dried out. And that they were fresh and they were earlier in their maturation process. But normally, and that's the case that the Rabbanan are talking about, normally people aren't going to harvest their grains until they've dried out in the fields and they reached a point where the kernels are dry enough that you would actually want to mill them and be able to make them into flour. So he says that they're looking for different end games. When we're talking about full maturity, one is talking about maturation in terms of size, other one's talking about maturation or reaching full maturity in terms of the optimal time to harvest. So normally, when you harvest, you're going to be harvesting on Sukkot. You need to reach enough. You need a number of days for it to be out there, plus to dry out a little bit. Over there, by the Omer, they were not as much interested in drying out, because they need to get it karmel. They need to get it rach umalei. They have to get it when it's still soft and it's still moist. And that differentiation allows for this difference between the 5 days and the 15-day period. Right now, back in the Gemara, matkifla Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina now questions our underlying assumption in the Pasuk, which is that Chag Asif means Chag Katsir. It means the harvest. So Matkif Rabbi Chanina, Mi Matzid Amarta Ay Asif Katsir Hu. Can you really interpret the word Chag Asif to mean Chag Katsir? Vaktiv, doesn't it say, Ba'as Pechami Gorn Chami Gvecha? When is Chag Sukkot? When you gather in the Gorin and the Yekev. Vamar Mar, and what was the drasha we have from that? B'psolat Gorin V'Yekev. Hakatuv Medaber. It's talking about the leftovers, the residual from the Gorin and from the Yekiv. That's what you use for your Tzchach. That's what's kosher for Tzchach. Things that are Gedulei Karka, not Mikabel Tuma. That's what you use for Tzchach. So if we're going to say that we have a drusha on Bi'as Becha Migorin Cha Migvecha, then we can no longer say that Ba'as Becha is telling us when it is. Rather, that's a drusha about what you use for the Sukkah. So that means now that Chag Asif means at the time of the Asif. Before we said, oh, Chag Asif, we don't need that because we already have the word Ba'as Pechad, which tells you when it is. But now we have another drasha with that pasuk, not telling you when it is. It's telling you what you use, what materials you use for the Sukkah. That means now that the Chag Asif is no longer extraneous, and you can't say that it means Katsir, it means Asif, literally Asif, Chag Asif. So the Gemara says, Amar Abzeira, Hai Milta Hava Biyadan. We had this great explanation. We were able to work out the psukim and work out everything here. Ve'ata Rabbi Chanina and Shadda Bein Argo. Rabbi Chanina all of a sudden asks Akasha, and he threw an axe into it. The equivalent today of he threw a monkey wrench into it, or gumming up the works. We had such a beautiful explanation. All of a sudden his Kasha undermines or unravels everything. So Ella Minalan. So now, where do we know the fact that when the Tevuah reaches a shlish, that's considered to be the Onata Masrot. Kedetanya Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. We're on the side of a bright Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer. Vasat et etvua l'shlosh shanim. This is in Parshat Bahar with regards to Shemitah. It says that in the sixth year, you'll produce for 3 years, so that you'll have enough until you reach the eighth year when you've planted and finally harvest after that point in time. So it says, Vasat et etvua l'shlosh shanim. Al tikra l'shalosh, ela l'shlish. Don't say three, but rather shlish, a third. Mar says, v'habim v'ayle the gufei. Well, what do you mean, take a change into a shlish? We need to say shalosh. We need it for the pashtut akra. Pashtut akra tells you that you're going to get tvua for 3 years from the sixth year. We need that interpretation. Why are you just throwing that out the door and saying we can make a drasha on the pasuk? Mar says, no, tiv kra achrina. We have another pasuk that already tells us that. Because it says, Uzratim et Hashana Shminit, you'll plant in the eighth year, V'achaltim in etvua yashan ad shanat shiit. And you'll eat from the older produce until you harvest and you reach the ninth year. So it already tells you that from the sixth year, you're going to have enough produce to reach the ninth year. So that tells you you have enough for the sixth year, for the seventh year, and the eighth year until you reach into the ninth year. So now we already know that you're going to have 3 years worth of produce. So what does it mean also, V'asa et etvua l'shlosh shanim? That teaches you not only that it's for 3 years, but a third. And it says ba'ast, means that it's complete, that it's fully done. It'll make the tvuah at a shlish. So a shlish is considered to be the maturity level by which we determine when is something is considered to be for the onata masrot. So that is the limud behind this idea that one third is the threshold. It's not hatam. We have a mishnah in Shvi'it that says, ha'orez va'dochen, Orez va'dochen va'pragin Vashum shemin, shehishrishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, mitasrim le'avar, umutarim b'shvi'it. Vimlav, asrim b'shvi'it, umitasrim l'shanah haba. So orez, rice, dochan is millet, pragin can either be from pereg, which is poppy seed, or the translations I saw were haney, which is a type of millet, and shumshumin are the sesame seeds. If they took root before Rosh Hashanah, then they are mitasrim le'avar. They belong to the previous year. So that means that if it's the sixth year, they're mutarim b'shvi'it. If they are not rooted before Rosh Hashanah, then if it's in the sixth year, they go into the seventh year, and they root in the seventh year, then they are seventh year produce. And asurim, they become perot shvi'it. Umitasrim l'shana haba, if it's another one of the years in the cycle, not sixth going to seventh, but second going to third, then the maser in the second year is maser sheni, the maser in the third year is maser ani. Whether it rooted before Rosh Hashanah or not will determine whether you bring it as maser sheni or you bring it as maser ani. Amar Rabba, Amur Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, Ilan, when it comes to a tree, batar chanata. It goes after the time that it begins to bud, to blossom. Tvua v'zeitim batar shlish. We already established that grains and olives go after one third of a growth. Yerek, when it comes to vegetables, batar lekita, goes after when you gather it, when you pick it. Hani, keman shavinhu Rabbanan. What did the Rabbanan make these like? Here you have a Mishnah. It's telling us it's about rooting. None of the other items have that as their threshold. We have budding or blossoming. We have picking. We have one third of growth. All of a sudden here, we have rooting as being another threshold for determining what year it's in. So that's what Rabbah wants to understand. Where does it belong? Which category is it in? Hadar my Rabbah mitoch shasuin prachin prachin as the Rabbanan batar ashrosha. Because the kitniyot in general, when it comes to legumes and the items mentioned in our Mishnah, they are gathered in small quantities. We saw this in the Gemara in Beitza. Rashi actually said it there, the differentiation between tvuah, grains, and kitniot were, kitniot, you don't make a big goren. You don't bring them all in and make a big goren together like you do with the grains. The grains, you make a massive goren, you bring them all in together and you process them together. By the kitniot, you bring them in slowly. And as you bring them in, you shell them, prachim, you roll them, you shell them, and you work with them from that point. But you don't bring in large quantities of that. So because of that, they had to come up with a different threshold that was equal for the whole field. What you don't want is that all of a sudden that they have different onota masrot, depending on when you, for instance, picked it. So by vegetables, as soon as they are mature, they pick them. That's because vegetables, once they hit maturity, if you leave them on the ground or in the ground, they're going to start to go bad. They didn't have refrigeration, so they picked them and they ate them right away. So therefore, they consider picking to be the point of Gemara Pri, the point where it was done. And it's something that they did together. When you picked it, that you picked everything together because they all reached maturity. Whenever they reached maturity, you picked them and that was it. With regards to Tvuah and Zeitim, one third of the growth, that is the determining factor. By trees, the blossoming of the budding of the fruits, it all happens together. Over here, by kitniot, they would be like vegetables. So you would say, okay, they should go batar lekita. If you do batar lekita, what you're going to have is like piece that you're going to take out, and they're all going to be different onota masrot. So they wanted to come up with a threshold that would keep it all on the same year. So they used hashrosha as the determining factor. And Rashi says that all of these issues are dirabonon. The onata masrot is all the dine dirabanan, because here we're talking about trumot and masrot, which are trumot and masrot dirabanan. Midoraita, the only trumot and masrot that are chayam midoraita are, as we said before, at least according to most, the Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar, which are grains, grapes, or grape juice wine, and olives and olive oil. Those are the only things doraita. So what we're talking about here are all items that only midirabanan. So since it's all derabonon, they can establish what in the onata masrot is. That's how Rashi explains it, and that's how he runs the Gemara. Tosafot asks a tremendous question on Rashi. He says, that's really nice with regards to trumot masrot. But over here we're mentioning shvi'it. Shemitah is a din d'oraita. And Shemitah is a din d'oraita with all items, not just with Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. And these onot over here determine whether it belongs to the sixth year or the seventh year. So it's determinant for Shvi'it as well, not just for Trumot to Masrot. So you're not just dealing in a realm Derabonin, you're also dealing in a realm Deoraita. So he gives two answers. One answer is that Shvi'it Bizman Azeh is Derabonin, that Shvi'it today is Derabonin, and therefore it has the same status as Trumot Masrot, Derabonin, so Derabonin can establish what the threshold is. Or he says, Inami, he says that in Torah Kohanim, there is a limud for Shvi'it, for Orez, and Dochen, and Pragim, and Shumshumin. There they bring a pasuk to teach you that Hashrasha works. And therefore you have a pasuk min Torah. So you actually have a Torah limud for Shvi'it with regards to these items. And with regards to Trumot Masorot Rabbanon, then it could be a Din Dirabbanon. So Tosfot mentions that as the answer for why, even though we're dealing with Shvi'it, we still give this threshold. So Amalei Abayi says back to him, if the problem here is that you're collecting them at different times, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have some of these items be from the previous year and some of these items from being for the next year. So he says, no problem. Bitzbor gorno litocho. Just take them and mix them together. V'nimtza torei min ha-chadash shebo al-chadash shebo, min ha-yashan shebo al-yashan shebo. If you mix them together, and then you take out a portion of it, for instance, the Trumot Masrot, your assumption is that you're going to get what we call a statistical sample. Because if you have them mixed together and you put out a sample, you're going to assume that the ratio of the sample is the same as the ratio of the contents within. So if you mix them up nicely, mix them well, and then you pull out the Trumot Masrot, so yes, some of them belong to the previous year, some of them belong to this year, but you'll get that same mixture, that same percentage within the Trumot Masrot that you remove. So you'll be taking off from the Chadash and the Chadash, from the Yashan and the Yashan, and it won't be a problem. Abayi says, I'm not sure what the issue is here, because you can solve the problem by simply mixing them together. So, Milo Tanyo, don't we have this solution? Rab Yossi ben Kiper, Amar Mishum Rab Shimon Shizuri, Polar Mitzri, when it comes to the Egyptian bean, Shezar'o Lezera, they grew it for seed, not to eat, but for its seed. Miksato Yishrish Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, portion of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, Umiksato Yishrish Lachar Rosh Hashanah, the other part of it rooted after Rosh Hashanah. Ein Tormim Masrim Mizeh Al Zeh. You can't take Trumot Masrot from one on the other. Lefi Shein Tormim Masrim Lo Min HaChadash Al Yashan Velo Min HaYashan Al Chadash. Because then you're mixing years. You're mixing some for the previous year with some for the new year, and you have to make sure that they stay independent. Ketzad Huo Seh. What's the solution? So ver gorno l'tocho. You pile them all together, you mix them together. V'nimtzeinu tareim u'maaser min ha-chadash shebo l'chadash shebo, min ha-yashan shebo l'yashan shebo. So here he brings a tosefta from Shvi'it that tells you how to deal with this. I'll tell you how to deal with this. Here's the way to deal with it. And it gives the same solution that Abaye already gave for us over here. So Abaye is saying, why do you have to establish, or why do we care whether you get mixes of Yashan and Chadash here? You can deal with Yashan and Chadash, even though it's a single item and a single harvest cycle.
But if you do this between the second year and the third?
Very good. Tosafot asks your question. Exactly what Fred just asked now. Tosafot says, that's a great solution when you're dealing with the like kind Masrot. But if you're doing it over the second and third year, or over the fifth and sixth year, where you have Maiser Ani and Maiser Sheni, then what are you going to do? It works well when everything's Maiser Sheni, so you get a percentage of the Chadash, percentage of the Yashan. But when you have a case where a portion is Maiser Sheni and a portion is Maiser Ani, and you say, oh, okay, I take it off, and now I got a percentage of each, how do you deal with it now? You can't give it to the Ani because there's Maiser Sheni in there. You can't take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it because some of it belongs to the Ani. So what are you going
to
do? Right, bring an Ani with you to Yerushalayim. It also gives an interesting answer. He says, well, what you could do is you could redeem it. You'll be poded the entirety on money. You'll take the monies up to Yerushalayim, which you can do with Maaser Sheni. And whatever you have left behind, what you've redeemed, you'll give all to the Aniim. So that way, whatever you give to Aniim is either Maaser Ani or Chulin. And whatever you take up to Yerushalayim was Maaser Sheni that was redeemed. So that you can take it up to Yerushalayim. Meaning that you redeem Maaser Sheni plus, you have more. In the end, you'll have excess Maaser Sheni money. And you have excess Maaser Ani, but you can handle the situation. That's how Tosafot solves the problem, but he asked your question exactly. This is a nice solution, but it doesn't have a total solution to it. Amalei, Rabba responds to Abaye and says, Rav Shimon Zuri Kamart, you are proposing here that we follow the position of Rav Shimon Shizuri. Rav Shimon Shizuri Savar Yesh Bilan. Rav Shimon Zuri says that you have the ability to mix dry goods. Not only do liquids mix well, but even dry goods mix well. Rabbanan Savrei, Ingbila. But the Rabbanan, the majority opinion believes that you cannot mix dry goods to get them so that when you take your statistical sample, meaning when you take out your Trumot Masrot, that you're really going to get a representative percentage of the items that are contained within. So Rabbah's answer to Abaye is, this is not a solution, because your solution is following a Dat Yachid. Dat Yachid, who is Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. The Rabbanan don't agree, and that's not a good solution. Therefore, the Chachamim said that it goes after Hashrasha, rather than Batar Lekita, or not worrying about the fact that you have Zishan and Chadash mixed together. So now, we have a statement, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, Shemar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So then we have now that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So Matkifla Rabbi Zeiro, mi Amar Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say that? V'amar Shmuel l'chol ein bila chutz miyayin v'shemen. Shmuel says you can't mix anything except wine and oil. Wine and oil doesn't mean only wine and oil. It means any liquid can be mixed well together. The reason he picks wine and oil, because those are only two liquids that are chayavim in Shumot and Masrot, because that's Tirosh and Yitzar. So he mentions those items. But any liquid can have bila, mixed as well. Dry goods do not mix well. Right, so in their day, grapes were not grown to be eaten, and olives were not grown to be eaten. They were used for their oil, and they were used for their liquid because of the refrigeration problem again. The only way to store them for the long term was to make them into oil, which lasted, or to make them into grape juice, which really turned into wine. They've never had grape juice because it fermented, and that was the way that they kept them. Nobody grew grapes to eat, and nobody grew olives to eat. They were grown for their liquids. That was their primary purpose. Grapes and olives, you would have to separate them out, but he's pointing out that in terms of mixtures, only mixtures that mix properly are liquids. Dry goods or dry items do not mix properly. So now you have a stira in Shmuel. Shmuel is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri, that you can mix up the items from one year to the next, the pola mitzri. You can mix them up because they'll mix well, and you can take off the trumot masrot. And then you have him saying that dry goods don't mix. How do you reconcile? So ishtamititei. So Rabbi Zera forgot about this other statement of Shmuel. Hadamar Shmuel, kol olei chachar gemar pri. Everything has to do with the Gemar HaPri. Has to do with the final ripening maturation of the Pri. So he does not believe, like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, that it goes after Hashrasha. He says that it goes after the Gemar HaPri, when it reaches full maturation. So now we're going to understand in a second, we'll explain why, how all these items come together to explain the position of Shmuel. Just before we do that, a couple of interesting questions that you have here, raised by Tosafot. One is the issue of Abaye's question. Abaye asks from Rav Shimon Shizuri and says, why don't you just mix it together? And when you mix it together, then you don't have to go after Hashrasha. What's interesting is that Rav Shimon Shizuri himself says that it goes after Hashrasha, that it goes after rooting. Abaye's whole question is, you don't have to go after rooting because you have Rav Shimon Shizuri, you have this way to mix it afterwards. But even Rav Shimon Shizuri, who is the one who says you can mix it, still says that it goes Batar Hashrasha. Why does that help you in the end? Abaye is trying to get rid of this idea that you use Hashrasha, say just mix it together. Rav Shimon Shizuri, who is the support for his position, doesn't say that. Tosafot leaves that as a question. He doesn't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. What you have to say is that Abaye is saying Rav Shimon Shizuri shows you that there is ability to do this. I'm not necessarily subscribing to his position in Hashrasha. I'm just showing you that there's a way to mix it and deal with the issue and not have it Hashrasha. Probably what Abaye might be saying, and the only problem with that is that Abaye needs support from a Tano or somebody to tell him that it's not a Hashrasha, but that there is some other threshold. And we're going to see that problem in Shmuel now too. Shmuel says it goes after the Gemar Pri. The problem with Shmuel's position is Gemar Pri is not mentioned by any other Tano. And that's what Tosafot and Rashi ask the question, and they don't have an answer for this is. Rashi says, V'ani lo yadati manhu ha-tana. I don't know who the Tana that Shmuel is following. We never have an explicit Tana that says you go after Gemar Pri. And Tosafot says the same thing. He doesn't know upon whose opinion Shmuel is premised. You have Tanayim here giving you Hashrasha and telling you Hashrasha is the threshold, Mishnayot, and then Shmuel comes along and says, no, it's Gemar Pri. But where's that Tana that Shmuel is following that says Gemar Pri that allows him to argue here on a Mishnah? So there has to be a Tana somewhere, and that's what Rashi says. He just doesn't know who that Tana is.
Well, the Rishonim argue that when we say that.
Okay, so very good. Tosafot says something along your lines. It's not an answer to the question, but he does say what you're saying here. When Shmuel says, go batar gemar pri, what does he mean? Does he just mean for these items here, like the orez, the docha, and the pragim and shumshumin? Or is that a broader thing that by vegetables as well, we go after gemar pri? And his answer really is, and that's the way Tosafot reads it. Rashi doesn't read it this way necessarily, but Tosafot reads it this way, that when Shmuel says that we go after gemar pri, that's the same thing by vegetables. By vegetables, we go after Gemar Pri. Just happens to be by vegetables, as soon as they hit Gemar Pri, then you locate them, you pick them. Meaning that picking and Gemara Pri are basically almost simultaneous five vegetables. And there is a small difference. They will reach Gemara Pri, and then you will pick them, but it's very close in time, proximate in time. But here, Ein Likatam Gemara Pri. Over here, when it comes to these items, like the Orez, the Dochan, and all that, you don't pick them as soon as they reach maturity. You actually leave them in the field, and you bring them in slowly. So he says that's the difference between them and vegetables. But basically, Shmuel's opinion is that Gemara Pri is the determining factor for vegetables and for these items. Just the Gemara Pri functions differently in each of these cases. It functions differently by vegetables because you pick them immediately versus these items where you leave them in the field and you bring them in slowly. Now, Betzricha. Gemara says we need these three opinions of Shmuel. Shmuel gave us three opinions. We're going to have to deal with how to reconcile between all three of them, which is Dia Shmein and Alokha Kareb Shimin Shizuri. If he just told us the Alokha is like Shimin Shizuri, Hava Mina, I would have thought Mishum Tkazara Yesh Bila. You would have thought the reason is because it mixes well, like Rav Shimon Shizuri says. Kamash Malan. Therefore, we have the other statement of Shmuel, the Chol Ein Bila, that nothing can be mixed except for liquids. Dry goods do not mix. So that means that Shmuel paskins like Rav Shimon Shizuri, but not Mitamo, not for his reason. He agrees with Rav Shimon Shizuri that you put it all together. Why do you put it all together? Because the determining threshold is Gemara Pri. And Gemara Pri all happens at the same time here. And therefore, they're all going to be in the same year when there's Gemara Pri. So he agrees with Rav Shimon Shizuri, you can bring everything together in one shot, but not because it mixes well, but because they really have the same onata masrot. That's number one. B'yashmin on the chol ein bila. If you just give us the opinion that ein bila, things don't mix, hava mina k'rabbanan svirle, we would think, okay, then he passes like the rabbanan that you can't mix the different years because it'll go bata ashrasha. Mashvalon alokhik Rav Shimon Shizuri. Therefore, he tells us the law of Rav Shimon Shizuri that it's not because Hashrasha is the threshold, but rather because Gemara Pri is the threshold, and it all gets put together at once. V'yishmein en ha'naitarte, if you told me those two statements of Shmuel, havamina kasha de Shmuel de Shmuel, then you would think there's a steer on Shmuel's opinion, like Rabbi Zera asked. Mashmalan, hakol oleich achar Gemara Pri. That's the third opinion of Shmuel, that the answer is no. It's not that there's a steer on the psak of Shmuel. Shmuel thinks that the determining onata masrot for these items is Gemara Pri, is maturity, is full maturation. If he had just told us that everything goes after Gemara Pri, I would think this would apply even to grains and to olives. It would have that threshold. That Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, that's B'mai D'Poli, where he argues. Where does he argue? He argues either by Pola Mitzri, or possibly by the other items, because that's a seifa. That Pola Mitzri is the seifa of the Tosefta. So it might be by those specific items, that's where he argues. Why don't you teach us this? These two. The Cholini Ein Bila, Lomali. Just teach me that everything goes after Gemara Pri, and the Loch is like Rav Shimon Shizuri, and then you won't have to teach me everything Ein Bila. So Hakamash Shmalan, Dela'ayin Hashem and Yesh Bila. That, you need that statement of Shmuel to teach, and you're right. If you just taught me that everything goes after Gemara Pri, and the law is like Rav Shimon Shizuri, then you know that he doesn't think Bila works. Because he's saying to you, the law is like Rav Shimon Shizuri, but not for his reason, because it goes after Gemara Pri. So, what about the fact that he made the statement, Ein Bila? Why do I need that statement? It's not for the negative part of the statement, it's for the positive side of the statement, which is that Yain and Shemin do have Bila. Liquids do have ability to be mixed properly, and you will get a full mixture, a proper representation in that mixture when they are liquids. So those are the three statements of Shmuel, and you bring them all together, you get a conclusion as to Shmuel's opinion, which is, number one, we hold like Rav Shimon Shizuri that you bring all of these items together for Shumot and Masrot. Number two is, the threshold for him is Gemara Pri, unlike Rav Shimon Shizuri. It's not Hashrasha, it's Gemara Pri is the threshold. And number three is, Ein Bilat, these things don't mix well. And it's not because of the mixture that we allow you to bring it together because of Gemara Pri, but there are items that mix well, and that is Yain V'Shemen. So you take that all together, you get the opinion of Shmuel, who tells us how to deal with these items like Orez, Dochan, Pragim, Shumshumim, and Polar Mitzri. Okay, we'll stop over here.